Open the meeting now. Hi to everyone who's in the room and to everyone at home. My name's Barry Dorfman. I'm vice chair and chairing because Chair Lady Vicki Landis was unexpectedly unable to attend, and we had two other announced absences. So that leaves us without a quorum, which doesn't mean, and we've checked, that we can't have a meeting, that we'll have a record of the meeting. The only thing is we can't take official action, but since we have no statutory authority, that's not so critical. And we all felt, when we were trading back and forth with staff, that this meeting really was important to hold the meeting, to continue the process of the, as we'll see, of the main old business item. So that being said, I'll call the roll.
Here.
Here.
And we already know who isn't here. And I'll follow as the chair lady has with a moment of, did you have something? Oh, yes. Do you need the record of them called, or Kathy, I think there's sufficient notice and they're not here. Okay. We're not that officious. Are we going to call someone's name who we know isn't here? And following how the chair lady does it this year, we will have a moment of silence. Can't take any action, but I'm going to say that informally we'll use this as our guide if no one objects, because we can't officially accept it. And are there any announcements that anyone wishes to make? I know I want to make one because we got a notice of it in our packet, and this morning there was the first of what will be more than one meeting, I'm sure, about a parking plan. There was a contract let, I guess, 2 or 3 months ago to develop a parking plan, and I think the council will be sponsoring its usual open public input process. I just asked people to look for notices in the newspaper in the future if you miss that. There are no written communications. I'm aware of to the board. And so we'll move to the public comment and presentation. Let me ask, is anyone here, well, if you're here dealing with Quintana Road and South Bay Boulevard, now is not the time, because it's on the agenda. And I invite any of the public, if you're here on another matter, or if any of you who are here on that matter want to speak to another matter, now is the time. Okay, seeing this is pretty focused group on the issue, because I estimate there's at least 20 people here and no one rises, so we'll move on. The next is the consent calendar, the minutes, which we can't take any action, and so that will be deferred. The director's report and information items, we have no action required, and if you'll go over, you think the highlights of anything that's changed that we would want to hear about, or you think the public would want to hear about.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair and small but elite members of the board. I will try to be brief. I'm sure the crowd that is here doesn't really want to hear too much of this goofy nonsense. First thing I want to do is apologize. There was a noted attached copy from Janine's stuff on SlowCog. It's not attached. We will make arrangements to get them. Is going to be quite a topic for the next probably 6 months. You're going to be seeing some big projects starting to slam out the door, going. And one of them, as you see, if you've been around, Harbor and Piney, Station 53, the fire station, they finally got the modulators, you know, moved on site. They're doing some groundwork. Bill Boucher's been out there frantically dealing with contractors and subcontractors, so at least it's moving forward, so you're starting to see something come up out of the ground. And of course, along with that, as I mentioned last month, you know, you're going to start seeing some stuff on the, you know, the Morro Bay Quintana roundabout. You're going to start seeing some stuff on the, you know, the Harbor Walk. Bill's going to have a lot of little informational stuff for you, and as those projects are starting to squeak their way out.
If I could interrupt one moment, I believe these are available in the
public services.
In the public services department, they've prepared, because there's so much going on, they've prepared a very good summary of the different projects. PWAB doesn't deal with most of them, but it's a very good overview because you see a lot of things going on around town, and I've often wondered, what is it? And so I encourage, and there's actually, these are available, and I don't know if there's a large one up on the wall, but there's a very good map on the reverse side. And I encourage anyone who's interested in all the different things going on around town to drop by public services and pick one of these up. And I also want you to realize, with all this going on, this is being done with less staff, so it's really amazing what is being accomplished. Thank you. I'm done with the PR on this item.
Thanks for the punch. Let's see, the next thing I wanted to bring up, and another apology, I had filled this out on the director's report. As you had mentioned, there was a meeting today. I wrote down Thursday, but at least I got the July 19th, which happens to be today. We did have a meeting this morning on the parking management. There was quite a good attendance from the Planning Commission, City Council members. Unfortunately, there wasn't really too many representatives from what I'd call the public and the business owners. At least a couple more meetings regarding that, so keep tuned on that. The other thing on going down the list here on bike paths, and this goes back to the development there at Main Street and Quintana. The developers, contractors have cleared out the embankment, the frontage there outside of the trees. It's starting to look pretty clean. They actually were going to start landscaping this week, but I don't know, something delayed them. Actually, I think they found something on the plans they didn't spot, and that was some actual lighting for the parking lot. So they need to get that conduits and stuff in prior to the landscaping. I believe they're going to start landscaping next week. The only other little note was going back to some of the City Council issues was the creek cleaning action the City Council took, and we sent out those flyers, those request forms for, you know, asking for the city to come in with its forces and do some creek cleaning have been coming in slowly. We probably have, oh, I don't know, six or seven of them so far, so at least we're getting some response, and we'll keep you posted on that. And I believe with that, that's all I had to report on the director's report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have a quick question. On the fire station, pardon my not knowing the answer to this, but you're putting in a pre-engineered building for the personnel. Is that permanent?
No. It's not. It's modulars. The intent is that it may be in there for, you know, some people have speculated, but, you know, it may be in there 5 years, it may be in there 6 years. It is speculation. The intent is to rebuild the fire station, and we did get money due to the earthquake, the 2003 earthquake. We did get some money for replacing the engine room. So that's a part of the contract that we're doing, but in the meantime, in order to do that, we pretty much had to tear down the rest of the building, and that's why we're moving the fire staff over across the street into modulars, you know, at least on a temporary. So when, you know, you got Mike Pond's presentation on the sales tax initiative, should the city come into a windfall of money, or should that tax initiative pass and the city will, you know, then have enough money for the fire, then what they'll do is they'll add on to, you know, Parks Department,
sure.
Road Yard, collections,
because
they all kind of share the road facilities, and there's not a whole lot of office facilities and stuff down there.
That's the advantage. The same thing's happening out at CMC where I work, where they buy a modular and move it around.
Yeah.
But with that caveat, it's a 30-second story. My father went to school in the late 20s at the University of California in the temporary buildings, and I went to classes in the same temporary buildings in the 60s, so you never know. I do want to ask a question about the Quintana, when the bike lane becomes it opens, if there's any coordination with the police that they might drive by at the appropriate times to and from school to see what they think about the safety traffic issues, how it's being used, just letting them know it's opening and there might be a lot of school kids using it, just so they can happen to drive by to see whether they think there are any problems.
Well, the police actually drive down our Class 1 bike path now just to patrol it because there's places to hide and bushes and whatnot, so they routinely drive down.
I didn't realize that. They drive it on a bicycle?
No, they have the motor cops.
The motor, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, having finished director's report, informational items were used as our guide, old business. And that's continued discussion of the petition that was received from citizens requesting a traffic signal to improve safety and control the intersection of Quintana Road and South Bay Boulevard. And just to make sure we have a common refreshed memory, at the last meeting, a good deal of the discussion was distinguishing what this body does, which is does not in any way deal with proposed projects, but what is the traffic situation, safety situation, etc., as it is now, and what improvements, mitigations to improve the safety from your perspective by, I'll say, by engineering, not the head, our city engineer, to meet with selected members of the community. And thank you for going along and helping that process by having people be selected. And tonight, which is the reason that despite the quorum, we said it was important to have it. And I'm anxious to receive Frank's report. And after we receive the report, we'll be taking public comment. And I ask any board members or Frank if there's something I've misstated or left out that you think is important for tonight.
Thank you. With that, good evening again. Back in May 16th, we had a very good, you know, public meeting here regarding this issue. We had a great dialogue between numerous dozens and dozens of people from the public. Good dialogue with PWAB, and I think, at least for myself, I was enlightened. I got some good information. The results of that meeting was for myself to meet with several representatives of the petitioners or the people that showed up that night. I did that. I met with four out there at the end of May, and I wanted to thank everybody for that. That was actually a good dialogue. It's nice to sit out there and kind of kick the dirt and the rocks and hopefully not into the travel way, and you know, kind of see it firsthand and talk about it and watch the traffic go by and kind of experience it. Three major things came up in the dialogue out there. One, pretty much, and I'll go right to it, is the speed of the vehicles. You know, it's posted 40 miles an hour. It was pretty obvious as we stood out there, and I'm sure with the residents that live out there, and the fact that I drive it myself twice a day, you know, people are traveling more than 40 miles an hour. And it's kind of amazing that they can actually come off of the freeway, you know, Highway 1, at a stop sign, and actually, you know, even stop, and somehow or another managed to probably get up to 50 miles an hour by the time they hit the intersection there at Quintana, which is, you know, between 500 and 600 feet away. So that's getting after it pretty good. So definitely speed was a critical issue. The second thing that came up was, you know, some limited sight distance. When you're sitting on eastbound Quintana Road and you're looking up towards the freeway, you know, there's an embankment there. The embankment pretty much encompasses the city right-of-way. At the top of the embankment is a row of pine trees and a property line fence. And there was also the request that could we look into actually cutting back that slope and what would we accomplish out of that and could it be done? So that was two. And then the third issue that came up was, believe it or not, out at the two trailer parks, we actually have some senior citizens that live out there. And in the interest of pedestrians walking, getting across South Bay Boulevard, there's two established regional transit bus stops on two corners, and there's an interest within the community that lives out there in the evening time or whenever to, you know, take a walk over to what they refer to as the east side of Quintana, the nice quiet side, you know, take a nice walk, take the dog, you know, you can do a little bird watching, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, that trip basically begins from, say, the Blue Heron, getting down to the corner and then doing a wind sprint across the South Bay Boulevard to get to the nice quiet side. So those three things were the primary issues that I got out of the meeting. And then I think we all left pretty, you know, pretty good, on pretty good terms, and a clear understanding of what my direction was. And that's why we're here tonight. You know, I'm bringing forth to you, your board as well as the public. And it's not to say that I can solve all the problems of South Bay and Quintana Road. It's not a perfect intersection, and that's part of the, you know, nature of the beast and life as we know it. But the city's responsibility certainly is to recognize the needs of its citizens and to try to make improvements where possible and as necessary. So what I looked into was, you know, first off was trying to deal with that embankment. I did contact the property owners to the west of our right-of-way, which is the Rock Harbor Christian Fellowship. The hardship there kind of came out as that embankment goes right up to a property line fence. And for us to actually slope that back farther, we'd be actually having that hinge point up there beyond, basically we'd be cutting into their property. Plus we would have to take out the trees up there. The response I got from the church was they were really not interested in us doing that. As I looked at it, what I was going to be able to accomplish by cutting that back, unless I did a absolutely massive cutback, I really wasn't going to gain a whole lot of sight distance anyway. You know, just the configuration of the road, it's kind of got a little bit of a curve. Like I said, the car, if you tried to take it back to a 2-to-1, you know, you'd improve the sight distance, but not much. And we went out, we had already done a sight distance analysis, which is in your report. And it actually indicated by AASHTO standards, there is enough sight distance out there. And I think as you see noted in the, you know, and that's by the engineering standards. Now, like I said, you know, everybody's a little different and some people's response times are a little, you know, different and, you know, that's the best we can do. And it did note in that report that when it was done, it was actually during the time frame where the weeds were actually up, because it did make a note that if we cut down the weeds, we'd even actually improve the sight distance more. So what I got out of that was I didn't think the cost to benefit ratio on that was very good to go in and start ripping out the embankment. Plus I wasn't getting the cooperation from the next door neighbor property owners. So with that said, the recommendation I have tonight was for the city just to do a better job at weed maintenance. You know, we can try looking at spraying it. We can try, you know, they have weed retardant mats that you can put down. There's mechanisms where I think the city can definitely do a better job at keeping those weeds right down at the ground level. So there isn't this periodic good, not so good, bad, you know, cycle of, you know, weed vision. The The other two, the pedestrians, well, you know, actually all three of them, you know, the sight distance, the pedestrians, and the posted speed, you know, all come down to speed. You know, you're ready to walk across from the southwest corner to the southeast corner, and if cars are coming at you at 50 miles an hour, it's all about speed. So, and that's why I say I kind of tied them all together, and the speed is also associated with the required sight distance. So that's why I kind of threw all of those three together and made the effort that I can do right now without going to city council is to put those advanced warning signs. And if you'll bear with me just a second, let me run up and get my overhead since it got covered up. Much faster than you are. So with that said, the detail on the left, see the straightaway, and then boom, see a sign warning them of pedestrians ahead 500 feet. So it's not much, but at least it gives them the opportunity that, yes, there might be pedestrians. Please look for them. The second sign to the right, is again a warning sign. This is black on yellow sign indicating an intersection ahead. I again put a 30 mile an hour advisory sign, trying to get people to slow down as they approach this intersection. And then I think some people, and I'll relate to the tourists, but you know, as you're driving around and you're kind of sightseeing, but at the same time you're looking for that road that goes into Morro Bay, you know, there are certain people slow down at intersections not knowing which road it is, looking, oh, honey, slow down while I look at the street sign. Well, I don't, you know, certainly want to avoid that confusion of people slowing down, turning or not turning, so there's no harm in listing the street. Both of those signs would be out at that 500, 400 feet range, ample opportunity to, you know, see pedestrians, see congestion at the intersection, and slow down. And hopefully that 30 mile an hour advisory sign will bring them down from 50 to, you know, even if it only brings them down to 40. You know, it's something in the positive direction, and crossing the intersection and stuff hopefully will be better when cars are coming at you at 40 miles an hour than 50 miles an hour. So that's in essence what I'm proposing tonight. The opportunity tonight, even though you don't have a quorum, even if your board had a quorum and was making the recommendation to city council, I was probably going to announce to you that if this is what we're doing, and of course as we take public input, if somebody has a good idea or something, you know, better, you know, to add to it, and it's something that I don't have to take to council, it's something I can do under my license, then I'd be happy to do it. But the game plan was, is I was going to let you know that I was going to go ahead and move forward on getting these signs out there as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, as you noted in the email, I've already ordered these signs. They're on the way. So the idea is to get those signs in, watch them for the next month or two, see if it has any, you know, positive effect on slowing people down, and you know, maybe once or twice I'll go out there and try to cross the street myself and see whether I have to do wind sprints or, you know, what the...
Okay.
Yeah. And keep in mind, there'll be one each of these in both directions. So as I alluded to, as you come around the S-curve, there's the signs. As you're coming off the freeway, there's, like I said, about 600 feet. So that gives the driver enough time to make the turn off the freeway, kind of get situated again, and then 100 feet down there, he'll see that first sign followed by the second sign. Again, slowing him down in that direction also. So,
I think now is the time we'll take input on this item from the public. And if, even though we don't have a quorum, I still request that you identify yourself. And any of you who were part of the group that met of four, if you could add that in.
He didn't have to identify himself. Yeah, Ray McElligott,
Tommy
Morro Bay. I have gone through the staff report for this meeting. Slowing down traffic on South Bay Road and placing signs is a great idea, and I thank you for doing that. But it will not help traffic coming south on Quintana Road, stopping at the stop sign, wanting to turn left onto South Bay Boulevard to get to the freeway. That problem must be solved. A smart traffic signal is the only answer. It would be green for traffic on South Bay Boulevard until a car or cars wants to turn left onto South Bay Boulevard. It would only take a few seconds to make the turn, then the signal will return to green for traffic on South Bay Boulevard. And Caltrans, I know, gets involved in this, but Caltrans doesn't care about the safety of us who live in the two mobile parks and others who pass through this intersection every day. And then have one more. The Comer project should stop now and not come before the Planning Commission until this major problem is solved. Thank you.
I'm Judy Kidd, and I live at the Blue Heron Terrace. And at that intersection, there are two mobile home parks right there, plus this proposed project in the corner of Quintana and Morro Bay Boulevard. This makes a very small area with a very large group of either a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn from Quintana onto South Bay Boulevard becomes very frustrating. It almost becomes a work of art. A stoplight would be the best remedy, or even if a stop sign were put there, it might get the people to stop. As they coming off the freeway, they are going quite fast. And I appreciate the fact that you're trying to put up signs. It's a start, but I don't think it's going to solve the problem. Thank you.
Oh. Next.
Evening. My name is Bill Davies. I'm a neighbor of Ray's. I have here the three reports that were prepared for tonight. The staff report, the traffic evaluation by TPG, Comer's group. Also, they're the ones that did the parking study. Beware. And also the negative declaration. I don't know if you have.
The negative declaration, I don't understand the relevance to tonight.
It has the traffic and circulation element.
Okay, this is where I'm going to get into the boundaries, because we, I don't think, deal with the general plan and...
No, like I say, we're dealing with the traffic on South Bay Boulevard and Quintana. All three of these documents deal with the traffic on South Bay and Quintana. And like I say, you've heard the old saying, they're not on the same page. These three aren't even in the same chapter. There are so many discrepancies. Okay, I'll start off with the staff report. They make no mention at all about the bus stops or the RTA, the RTA or the school bus stops down there. They say they're going to install advisory signs to warn of a possible pedestrian crossing. The 40-mile-an-hour sign, when you come off the freeway, you're heading on a downslope. It's not flat, so it's very easy to accelerate. The 40-mile-an-hour sign is on the other side of Quintana. It's not on the freeway side of Quintana, which I think where it should be. And like I say, it's just a warning. And also in this staff report, there's a report here that was prepared in 1989. It deals with the driveway that came out of Blue Heron Park directly onto evaluation. They don't show anything on here about bus stops or school bus stops. What do we have here? On page 14, do you have this in your packet? No?
The evaluation was from the last meeting and had some information applicable to what we can deal with, mainly whether there was a traffic light warrant.
Well, it says right here, as far as existing conditions at South Bay Boulevard in Quintana, that's what we're dealing with tonight.
Mr. Chair.
Much of it was relevant to our discussions last time. I just didn't bring my copy.
Okay.
If you don't mind, everything that Mr. Davies is bringing forth so far has little or nothing to do with, your direction for me to go out and meet with the residents. Everything that he's talking about, the preparation, the TPG report, really deals with the Comer project, including Nick Muick is my engineering technician, and that's just a condition of development that we require them to do a traffic study. So this is everything so far presented is development related, and I'm not sure is there a point, I guess?
Yes, because I'm saying all three of these reports deal with that intersection, but all three say something different. And there are quite a few omissions.
And there's omissions in different parts of the reports. From what you said, it sounds like they're filling different parts of the elephant. But I want to...
I'm not talking about elephants, I'm talking about traffic.
I understand. I said at the beginning I was going to try and keep clear what we can do. And if I'll recall from memory, I've lost even my copy of the minutes, but I know it was quite clear that you felt a traffic light is warranted.
And, I haven't even mentioned traffic light.
If I can speak and you'll continue your... Well, why don't you finish and wrap up? You've already had quite a few minutes and there's quite a few others.
But I've had quite a few interruptions also.
Okay, apologize
on,
prior
on
to
page 14 of the report to Nick Buick made by TPG. On page 14 is these are little omissions. I don't know if they're convenient or what. Okay, on the negative declaration on page number 19, the traffic and circulation down here, the mitigation and residual impact. Number two, it said they're going to try to widen South Bay Boulevard for turning lanes. There's no way that they can widen South Bay Boulevard unless they go over there into the creek on the east side and also that scrubland on the west side. And then if they do widen them, they will have to cut through the bike lane. Okay, and then number four, it says two bus turnouts, one located south of the existing turnout on Quintana. There are no bus turnouts on Quintana. The bus does not run on Quintana. I don't know where TPG gets their information from, but it looks pretty shaky to me. Okay, and one document you don't have, I wanted to get copies for you, but I was too late. I had a family emergency. The County of San Luis Obispo, they put out their land use element every year, and they have a circulation element in there.
Okay, I'm going to. You've had 10 minutes.
I've also had numerous interruptions.
After interruptions, and I need to give others a chance.
Do you want to hear about the level of service and severity on South Bay Boulevard?
And if you feel at the end of all your friends having a chance to talk, that there's something critical uncovered, then I'll invite you back. But I think 10 minutes, excluding the interruptions, because I've been timing it, is sufficient.
None of these reports consulted the county engineer on South Bay Boulevard. Okay. Not okay. One of them. And like I say, we're at a level of service D, which is stated as speed and maneuverability are restricted. Small increases in volume can cause operational problems. And this small increase in volume from the Comer project will be an operational problem. Thank you for the interruptions.
We hope it'll be briefer, and I think one thing, and truly I was timing it, there was 10 minutes exclusive of the interruptions. Try and bear in mind this has nothing to do at this point in time in terms of our...
I don't understand why you would have a pedestrian crosswalk and then have an advisory 30 miles an hour. Why not just make, I don't know of any pedestrian area except this one that has a 40 mile an hour limit. That's all. Thank you.
No, I was asking for her name.
Could you give us your name?
Connie Davies.
Okay. Thank you. And noted the question. We'll try and get it answered later.
My name is Kathleen Fuller, and I live at the Blue Heron Park. I've lived here just a couple of years, and every time I go out off of Quintana to go on to South Bay, turning left, I feel like I'm taking my life in my hands. Those cars are coming off that freeway far faster than you measured, and the ones coming around the curve, oh boy, it's my chance to accelerate. And, you know, you're kind of doing this the whole time. Can I go now? And then somebody comes across at the other side, and they're going to go straight. So it's, do I get to turn? It's really hazardous. I made a left turn this morning, and almost didn't make it. There was a little silver car that came around the corner much faster, and it's a very dangerous corner. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Carl Peterson, and I live in Morro Bay. In fact, I live at the Blue Heron, and I'm in Space 52, and my living room faces the intersection of South Bay Boulevard and Quintana Road. So I see everything that's going on, as long as I'm watching TV with one eye and watching the road with the other. A lot of it I just hear with squealing of brakes, and sometimes a crash, and sometimes not, and it's a deer crossing also. I hear a deer get splattered every so often out there on South Bay Boulevard. And granted, different times of the day and different times of the evening, there's an entirely different situation that we have. And it's kind of bad to Atascadero and Paseroles, and that's where their jobs are. And I watched them. At first I was wondering, how come everybody's going north on the freeway? I figured they'd be going to San Luis Obispo to work, but most of the traffic goes north there. And if anybody attempts to make a left-hand turn coming from Las Osas off of South Bay Boulevard onto Quintana Road, the cars are going so fast and they're following so close to the ones in front of them, they grab the brakes and hear the squealing and sometimes, as I mentioned, the noise. Because they didn't stop back far enough or proceed slow enough so they could just go around and proceed on their way. They're stuck. One car, two car, sometimes 10, 15 cars are back there. Well, not maybe that many, but a lot of cars are back there because the car up in front is going to make a left-hand turn. And so, and plus all the bicyclers. It seems like every race that goes through Morro Bay, the bicyclers have to come down Quintana Road or South Bay Boulevard or both going either way. And that creates a hazard too. They have their own directors out there slowing people down or attempting to. But I feel very strongly that we are in need of some sort of traffic control in that area. And I was told several years ago that to put a traffic light in there would slow traffic down too much. And that's why one wasn't being put in. I don't know the validity of that statement one way or the other, but I feel today we really do need a traffic light. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, please. KB. Going aloud for... Okay, well then we will close the public comment and return to the board. Does anyone have any questions of Frank based on what you've heard or request to clarify? We're not, it's a, don't, we're informal enough. If there's something want to be clarified that someone presented.
I think I understand the comments. I'd like to hear Frank respond, because a lot of these comments are similar to what we received at the May meeting. And, of course, what Frank has done or proposed in...
You know, Ray kind of jumped in and thanked us for what we are doing, but he mentioned that the eastbound Quintana Road, looking up there, trying to get onto northbound, you know, southbound, or northbound South Bay Boulevard would still be difficult. Yeah, it is. But again, you know, sight distances is related to speed. So, you know, being able to make that maneuver, hopefully that the reduction in the speed may not fix it, but it'll certainly, it can't hurt, and it'll make it better. Judy Kidd, you can't argue that, yes, there's a certain amount of density out there, and there's going to be lots of usage, stop signs, stop lights. You know, that story will have to play out its toll with the Planning Commission. Keep in mind, and you know, I've gone on record before, I think at the last two meetings, but, you know, the stop signs and the stop light comes down to one thing. You have 13,000 vehicles a day versus 1,300, so it's 10 to 1. Granted, there's pedestrians out there, but there's not a lot of pedestrians. So the engineering standards, as the TPG consultants came out here and explained, there's a process to go through. Does it meet warrants? Does it fit in the mold for putting it in? Or is it just one of those things where, you know, the small number of people that live by there don't like it and they're reflecting it? Do you make the change? Well, those are things that from the political side and the public side, that's the process. You know, you say what you say in the Planning Commission, the City Council will act on it. Engineering wise, I have to follow the books. I have to, you know, do what I have to do and make the presentations of why we should or should not put it in. The traffic signal or stop signs will actually stop a lot of vehicles on South Bay Boulevard. So, and the chances are that as 10 or 15 cars are coming around, let's say in the northbound direction, they're coming around those S curves and they're having to come to a stop. Everybody's slowing down, you know, so that 10 or 15 or however number of cars start to back up, they're queuing back to that 500 feet where the next person that comes around the corner doesn't have that 400 or 500 feet of sight distance in which to react and stop. So really what you, the fear is that you've taken a hazardous intersection and you've moved the hazards of that intersection, traffic engineer, and he pretty much trumps. If it doesn't meet warrants, we're not going to endorse a traffic signal or stop. And it's not to say we can't do it, but from the engineering side, he's reflecting the same thing that I am, that it's not advisable to put it in. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Frank, can I ask you a quick question?
You bet.
You just said something very quickly, and I don't recall it from the previous meeting. You mentioned 1,300 versus 13,000. Were you saying that you normally have 13,000 cars coming by as a criteria, but we only have 1,300?
No, we have 13,000 on South Bay Boulevard zipping up and down, as opposed to about 1,300 on Quintana. So there's a 10-to-1 ratio there. That's why, you know, when you get into those engineering standards, if there was 13,000 on South Bay and there was 7 or 8,000 on Quintana, then you start to get into their, you know, you're basically now all of a sudden you're inconveniencing 7,000 people. Does it justify signals or stop signs, something to not only make it safer, but to give the 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 people in Quintana a better chance of getting out there? So those are some of the 13 steps I think the TPG consultants brought up. You know, Mr. Bill Davies' comments, most of them were related to the development. You know, bus stops not mentioned. You know, he probably got the same information from Jason Gillespie, I believe, from Regional Transit, that the bus stops on the northbound side and then actually turns left on Quintana to go to Morro Bay. And remember, TPG's request for a traffic study was to look at, you know, what's going on out there right now, and how is the new development going to impact it? So they were basically looking at volumes, you know, turning movements, and how is, you know, 19 more peak hour trips from a, you know, 18 unit development going to, is it going to have a significant impact on it? So there was certain scopes of that TPG report. So Mr. Davies brought up a lot of stuff, but it's not necessary. It's not mandatory components of a, you know, study.
If I could clarify for yourself, the comment about the bus stop, you meant that if you were designing things, at least you'd look at the issue of moving the bus stop to the east side, since it's a bus that...
Excuse me, but there are no buses that go up Quintana.
There's no bus. We know there's no bus stops on Quintana.
There's no bus that goes up to the freeway and then over. Come out on Morro Bay Boulevard.
Thanks. That's good information, but it's actually a moot point because all you brought it up was is that it was a fault in the report, and it's not an important criteria for the report when it comes down to the, you know, the daily trips and peak hour trips of the proposed development. So they're not expected to go and get every detail of the intersection. It was more of... Thank you. I struggled to write down what Connie Davis wrote, so if you can help me on that one, maybe I can answer it. Since I was asking for her name while she was speaking.
Okay, it was, and then we'll ask you if I don't get it right. There's a the first sign, pedestrian 500 feet, followed by a sign, but gee, if you're going to see pedestrians, you only have to slow down to 15, to 30, in an intersection.
Yeah. Well, it's not only advisory, but it's also for you to pay attention that there might be pedestrians out there crossing the road, and that's the intent of that sign on the left.
But what? No, that was clear. But why did in your report you said the 30 mile per hour as an advisory? In what context did you use the word advisory?
Well, advisory is, you know, it's posted for 40, and the safe traveling speed along there is 40 miles an hour, but as you come up to an intersection, you know, the traffic manuals allow you to basically alert the traffic, you know, the moving, you know, travelers that, hey, it's a busy intersection or there's activity up there, and advise them to reduce their 40 mile an hour speed down to 30 based on, you know, that criteria.
But it, as I understand it, doesn't change the speed limit.
No, it does not.
And
it's unenforceable.
You can't change this. We went over this 2 months ago as to the rules about changing the speed limit, and that wasn't going to go anyplace. So this is, people may misinterpret it as 30 mile per hour, and that's okay.
Well, that's half the game you play is, you know, a lot of the drivers, and let's go back to most of those people coming. You know, but advisory is advisory. You know, it's to try to get people to slow down because of, you know, of unsafe conditions. Posted speeds are posted off of the 85th percentile of the traveling public.
I have a question. This is for informal.
Yeah.
That 30 mile an hour speed limit sign, what color is it?
Black letters with yellow backing.
Okay. Or you don't have a... Well, get up and come to the microphone if we don't.
I still don't understand why they would have a 40 mile an hour speed limit with pedestrians.
Say it to the mic, please.
Into the mic.
Okay. I don't understand why they would have 40 mile an hour speed limit with a pedestrian sign.
Well...
It makes nonsense. It's nonsense.
To try and... answer it, and I'm going to ask Frank to explain this 85th percentile, but basically you have a through street.
Yes.
And that has the right of way under all cases, but it's letting someone know that as you're going through, entitled to your 40 miles an hour, there are pedestrians that cross there.
What would it take to change it to 30?
Well, I'll turn it over to Frank. It cannot be changed to 30 at this time, and he'll explain why.
It could be changed to 30, but the police can't enforce it.
How would you get it changed to 30?
City Council.
Thank you.
I apologize for confusing enforcement with changing
it. But keep in mind, you know, the aspect that you brought up about the pedestrians is that's not indicative that that there's a crosswalk up there. That's alerting the driving, you know, public that there may be pedestrians out there, and just to keep an eye on them, you know, keep an eye out for them. Kathleen Fuller had made notion that the cars go faster than we think. Yeah, can't argue that. And that the turns on South Bay Boulevard are hazardous. I agree. You know, but you know, it kind of comes down to a lot of things. It's those turns on South Bay Boulevard, the 5 o'clock time frame, or the 8 a.m. when the kids are going to school. I know people have to make choices. If I was living in the Blue Heron and I was coming out at 5 o'clock and I was heading to San Luis Obispo, for my own public safety, I would probably go left on Quintana and go out to Morro Bay Boulevard and get on the freeway there, just because I didn't want to cross South Bay Boulevard during that 5 o'clock rush hour. Those are, I think, choices we all have to make. And Mr. Carl Peterson's comments, which I appreciate because he's got an eye view of the intersection. But what he was focusing in on was, you know, people on South Bay Boulevard going north and wanting to turn left, and hopefully now delving into the Comer project, that the installation of left turn pockets on South Bay Boulevard will definitely help that. And I think it will help to make that intersection safer. Yeah.
Are you saying that in the context of the intersection and traffic flows as they now exist, or as they might in the future with some marginal increased?
Oh, you didn't even finish that sentence.
With a marginal increase, are you saying that exclusive of any future developments, the left turn traffic pockets would be in a potential source of improvement of the situation?
Oh, without a doubt. Having gone back and looked over the accident history, that will eliminate a better majority of the accidents. Most of them are people in that sitting out there in the actual travel lane trying to turn left and
left on
Quintana, or westbound on Quintana, or even coming southbound on South Bay wanting to turn eastbound on Quintana. Those maneuvers where people are getting T-boned, or they're losing patience, or somebody's running
so
into the back of them.
The pockets on South Bay Boulevard.
Yeah.
And the reason they're not pursued now is you don't get to do that on your own.
No. The reason we don't pursue that now is, one, city finances. I would have to take that to city council, and knowing that development is coming, that's the logical process, is to put it into that development and let the development do those improvements. Because within our general plan and our circulation elements and a lot of our planning documents, and I emphasize the nexus of their impact to that intersection. So I can only get so much out of them. You know, it's going to be, you know, if the public is successful at going to the Planning Commission, eventually the City Council, and convincing them to, you know, condition Comer to put in, let's say, a signal, you know, I'm good. I really don't have any problem with that, but that's their prerogative to do that.
I
don't have the ability to condition Comer because it doesn't meet warrants.
Why wouldn't the signal create the backup problem around the S-curve?
It will.
See, and
without a doubt.
Because I'm very sensitive to the S-curve, because I had to travel Highway 41 when they were building, and there were some tragic accidents because people would come around a curve, And they used to have the site distance, and they didn't, and there you go. And that's a that's a very serious problem that we don't have to deal with because the traffic light doesn't meet warrants. So we don't have to deal with it here. But what you are saying is that, and we don't, if I understand it, that existing conditions would be improved from the point of view of some of the issues that have been raised without creating hazards by having traffic pockets for the left turn.
No, I can't say that. And here's the reason why is the three issues that came up at the field meetings, and again, this was to be focused in on operational safety improvements as they exist right now. You know, site distance, left turn pockets will not have the effect of that. Pedestrians crossing over South Bay, it really, you know, the only good part is there, you know, a certain amount of those cars turning left will be stopped there waiting to turn, and so, it there may be a tad help, but not much. And then, of course, the speeding vehicles. You know, if there's a left turn pocket there and there isn't somebody sitting out there making a left, you know, high school kids might even go faster because now they've got their own free lane right through there. So, you know, so I had to answer that honestly.
Yeah, and appreciate it. That's why I knew I'd get an honest answer. I wanted to make it clear.
Let me take that one step farther, and maybe this is a good note on this too, is when you make changes to an intersection, especially one like Quintana and South Bay Boulevard, I always take the philosophy that you make changes in small increments. If you were to come out there and just change it drastically, so many people are used to what it was, and now they're caught off guard. So, you know, putting in the advisory signs, trying to slow people down, to me, that's nothing but good. It may not solve all the problems, but it's good. The Comer puts in there, sets it up there for exactly that. So the next go-around is more and more development comes out there, or we start to get an accident, or you know, the public is able to convince the city council and planning commission. You know, we're all lined up. We're 75% there to put in a signal or stop signs. So whatever you want to call that, silver lining in a dark cloud.
Board members have.
I heard one issue that didn't get addressed. I think Carl brought up the issue of the deer crossing. Do we have any signs for the deer? Are we addressing that in any way?
No, I have not. I'm not sure where to put it because I'm not really sure where they cross. You know, they're out there in the flats. I know they are. I haven't really seen a deer carcass on the side of the road in that general area.
If they're like, say, dogs and other animals, they'll tend to cross in the middle of blocks because they only have to look two ways. It's just an instinct in terms of limiting the number of. It's sort of like the old thing, the gunslinger in the saloon wants his eye on the door and sits with his back to a wall, no windows, so.
Now I have seen more possum and raccoon out there than deer. So
right in the intersection?
No, just along that south.
No, they'll be along the road. I'm just saying we're talking about the intersection. Bill, do you have any comments?
No.
Question, do you have any comments?
Sir, I have another thing.
Sure, if you can come to the microphone, please. Wait till you come to the microphone.
I just have to read what I wrote down. Okay, I'm Judy Kidd at the Blue Heron. And in talking about that left-hand turn lane, okay, if you're coming down South Bay Boulevard and want to make a left-hand turn on Quintana and you're waiting there, this happened to us yesterday, people zoom past you on your right just as if you were in a left-hand turn lane, and they do it all the time. Then if you have taken a walk across South Bay Boulevard to the quiet side, if you're standing on that intersection, you're taking your life in your hand because they will come right to the right of the car that's stopped there and nail you. So you cannot stand there. It's very dangerous. And then the other thing, Mr. Cunningham mentioned the fact that there were 13,000 people on South Bay Boulevard and 1,300 on Quintana. and that the 13...
Damage, not inconvenience. Damage, because you have so much traffic flow on the main artery, and because of the S-curve and the problems coming off, if you do anything to impede that...
Yeah, but someone pulling off on Quintana could cause an accident.
Well, it's possible, but that hasn't been the record, if I understand it, in terms of the frequency being enough to say that there's a equal hazard in both directions, if you were to control all four.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking of the two words. Okay, thank you.
It's actually more of, it's going back to those design manual guidelines, and they use criteria of how many on this leg versus that leg as some of the criteria to evaluate it. So in essence, when you're driving down a busy, you know, and I don't want to call it an urban, but a busy arterial road like South Bay Boulevard, and every time you run across a rural crossing, small numbers, you know, that, gee, do you really want to put a signal? Do you want to put stop signs out there? And that's why I say that's just one of the 13 elements in that design criteria that they go through. And one of them is the differential between the two volumes of traffic.
Could I say something? I'm inclined to think that all of us should drive very, very defensively down there. Because remember, among those 13,000 drivers, practically all of them on South Bay Boulevard are from Los Osos. And we've all seen the addicts about the sewer down there. Well, so those same screwy drivers, or same screwy people, are making up those drivers. Your only defense...
Duly noted, I
drive defensively.
Duly noted, I'm glad we don't have a quorum, so no action need be taken. And Mr. McGillicutt? Up to the mic.
What are you going to do after that sewer is in? Your traffic's going to double from Los Osos.
That's, I think, a good place to end this, if we can, to capture the difference between now and the future. And I think, as Frank well laid out, it's not that we can only deal with now, but our heads are not in the sand about the future. And if I can now try and summarize, the traffic light, given the current traffic flows and the engineering standards, and we go by those, whether it be this intersection or an intersection close to my home, because I have some problem ones, the traffic light is not warranted. When the phrase warranted, it doesn't meet the warrants or the criteria. And fortunately, it may be a testimony to your driving habits that there aren't more accidents there. I think that this will be a intersection that, as development takes place, will get great scrutiny. And I think our approach is do as much as we can without doing any harm, without having the potential to make matters worse. And I think that's what this signage does. And now, trying to look at it from your point of view, you will have experience in whatever venue you want to pursue these issues. You will say, these interventions were taken, and here's the result. It may be, hopefully, that there'll be a slowdown. But as a gentleman who watches from his residence, say, well, didn't make any damn difference. You know, I see him talking on their cell phone, going right by the sign, don't see it. But then you will have that information. So this is, at least don't do any harm, and it does building block you towards, if it seems appropriate in the wisdom of other bodies with the proper jurisdiction, it does get you closer to where you want to go. I will come, and I live in on the beach track. And depending on what's happening in traffic, I have two different ways I go to minors. When I go in town, I have two different ways. When I use your intersection and I want to go to the new coffee shop, I'll often go out on the highway just because of the difficulties. And what I'm trying to say is that fortunately we still live in a small enough place where we do have alternative routes. I know you may experience it, is really the pedestrian aspect, and we'll just hope that this will help with that. When I say intractable, you don't have a whole lot of options about crossing the street unless there's an overpass or a tunnel. And we have no action to take, but I expect that there'll be, as I understand it, the schedule is the signs. We just want to put the information. We'll probably be going in when?
I'm going to guess, but if I can get them in my hands, I'll get them in hopefully by the end of next week.
David, so but certainly before the end of the month, and then you plan to observe, and I'm sure you'll, I personally, and I think others, want to know how it works out, because you have put in too much effort to getting this done to not have other people care about whether it did any good.
I personally promised to slow down from 50 to 40 myself, so.
Okay, I'll do that too. Yeah, that we ought to start sign-ups.
Can I ask a couple more questions?
Sure.
I know you're bringing this to a close, and I apologize for being tardy with my questions. Are there going to be crosswalk marks in the road? Is there going to be an indication of a crosswalk at this point? We talked earlier about right-of-way. Does a pedestrian have the right-of-way in this case? I mean, it's a moot point if someone runs over you, but who has the right-of-way when you're walking across a road like this?
You know, I'd hate to answer that without deferring to the vehicle code. Pedestrians always have the right-of-way. It's just, you know, it's always going to be that fine line. Did they take every reasonable precaution, or did they just walk on out there? The cops have to make those determinations of kind of who yielded what. So, you know, if somebody was crossing across there and somebody was blazing by at 60 miles an hour and, you know, on drugs or something like that, you know, the cop's going to say, okay, well, this lady didn't have a chance. But if, you know, if there was lots of traffic and somebody just said, well, heck with this, I need to get over there and started walking and got hit, the cop's going to probably make that same, you know, determination.
Okay. The left turn lanes, you mentioned that it sounds like it's planned for the future.
A bunch of conditions to improve the pedestrian access from Blue Heron and the proposed development down to where I think we're going to relocate the bus turnout, the southbound bus turnout, farther to the south, stuff like that. So one of the conditions is to put in those left turn pockets as a condition of the development.
Now, for that to actually happen, would it be good if the people that are here right now, and maybe even the people that attended the meeting in May, to show up at the planning meetings? Would it be good for them to keep encouraging the
people to do it? I totally encourage public participation, and that's what it's all about, is to reflect your, you know, concerns, your issues, and, you know, it's sometimes a game what you can actually get out of developers. My hands are somewhat limited, but if I can establish a nexus, and in this case, their traffic study and the accident studies indicated that there was, you know, a problem with those left turns, and there was, mm-hmm. you know, a good number of accidents there. Didn't meet warrants for signals or stop signs, but I conditioned them to put in those left turn pockets. You know, and I believe at this point in time, I don't have any resistance from the developer. Now, keep in mind, too, there's other little odds and ends. One thing I probably forgot to mention, we are going to try to establish bike lanes from Quintana up to the freeway for those bicyclists to, you know, do their thing. Mm-hmm. And that will actually shift the travel lanes to the east, which will actually improve that sight distance for those people at Quintana looking up towards the high school. With the travel lanes having shifted to the east, it will improve that sight distance some.
Okay.
But I never know exactly what conditions I'm going to get upheld. It has to go through the due process of the Planning Commission. In this case, being a subdivision, it will go to the City Council.
Okay, well, I don't think we can actually take any actions on new business, future agenda items. So, hearing no objection, we will adjourn this informal meeting. Again, thank you for your participation. It's always educational and makes me think about maybe what I would want different where I live, and unfortunately I've learned some of the rules and don't even try.